Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer before we go to the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, asking, Lord, for you to anoint us. Lord, for you to come and anoint your word, dear God, and speak to us, Lord. For only you could be a help to the people, Lord. You knowing, Lord, every one of us that would be here tonight, Lord, and you know exactly what our needs are. I ask, Lord, that you'll help me to yield to you, that you may minister to those needs. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? This account of this Luke gives, and there he says, Where is your faith? You may be seated. I wanted to read something from the Pergamum Church Age book. The Church Age book on a Pergamum, it'd be under the Pergamum Church Age. Now Jesus knew there was going to be a terrible drift away from the word in the Pergamian age, which was yet 200 years off from the Patmos vision. He knew that drift would cause them to go into the dark ages. He knew that the way man originally got away from God was first by leaving the word. If you leave the word, you've left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos, indeed to all the churches of all ages. I am the word. If you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. This is which I'm giving you. The word is a revelation of myself. I am the word. Remember that. Then he says, I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. And that's what I would like to speak on tonight. Are we sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst? The message of testimony on the sea. Brother Rem says, you know, there's something about having a meeting. When you have a good spiritual meeting, there's something going on, great things took place, you just hate to leave. You know how it is. After you had a meeting, something has happened, thrills you, you must testify about it. You got to tell someone about it. Now, Brother Branham kind of illustrates or dramatizes out in this message on the testimony on the sea about how that when they had come into the ship, Jesus had went to sleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples were there, and so perhaps they began, because they'd come out of a great meeting, perhaps they began testifying to each other of what was on their hearts. And perhaps John testified and said, I know that in the script that it says that Jehovah fed the children of Israel with manna from heaven. And they didn't need no ovens. It was to bake it. It already was ready to eat. Instead, and I remember just the other day when we were with him, and said we only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he fed a multitude of 5,000. and said we had 12 baskets and remained. He says, and there wasn't no ovens out there baking that bread either. He said, I believe it's the same, he's the same Jehovah God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Said, because he's doing the same thing. Maybe Peter would have said, you know, Moses the prophet said that God would raise up a prophet like unto him. And he said, you know, when he come walking up to the ship that day and knew me by name, called me by name, and my brother, and said, how could he have known who I was? He said, I believe that must be him. Perhaps Nathaniel and Philip could have been giving testimony about how when Nathaniel came and Jesus said, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Nathaniel said, Rabbi, where did you know me? And he said, before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. And he said, that's not just a man. There's something more to him. I believe he's the Christ. I believe he's the Messiah. You imagine them just fellowshipping like that? Calling Jesus on the scene, Brother Ram says, you know, I can imagine how he felt. He had just had a great day. He was tired. He had been speaking much that day, teaching parables, if you notice, of the mustard seed and different things. He had had a great day of healing the sick and teaching, and his physical strength was just about played out. If any minister knows just in our little ministries that we've got how it tires us, what must it have done to him? Remember, in the flesh, he was just a man, but in spirit, he was God. But a man in flesh, therefore, his body was a human being that was subject to temptation, subject to sickness, and just the same as ours. He be a man, a human, and then he was God in the spirit, and said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. But I just think about them being out there on the sea, and they're giving the testimonies. And then all of a sudden, they're feeling really good from the service, but then all of a sudden, a storm raises up. And it isn't just a light storm, but the boats begin taking on water. And it must have been taking on more water than what they could bail out. And they figured they were near to sinking. And when they call out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I myself thought, what an insult to say that he would care. But here he was fast asleep. It goes to show many times people don't realize what the ministry goes through. And as I've said before, If the preacher goes like a rocket, he's going to fall like a rock. But here even Jesus needed some time to rest. He needed some time to get refreshed, to recuperate. But here they were testifying of him being the Messiah. And so in some way, they thought him to be superhuman, and he was not. He was God in flesh. But that flesh wasn't superhuman. It was subject to everything like ours is. If it wasn't, then how could he understand what we go through? But yet he does. And then as the storm raged on, they became frightened. And they call out to him. And he rose up and spoke to the sea and the winds, and the storm ceased. Then he looked at them and said, Where is your faith? Why were you so afraid? And I wonder the same thing. They were been testifying about who this was that was with them. And yet, even though he was with them, they become afraid. Were they sufficiently impressed with the word that was in their midst? In awakening Jesus, Brother Bram says, "Oh Lord, this simple little thought awakened Jesus. Lord, we have not used his spirit and his faith so long till it merely goes to sleep as it was in our souls. Let us shake ourselves tonight. Let us arouse ourselves and get our own sleepiness away from us that we can see that he is still in the boat." Amen. Oh Lord, today I tried to shake my soul. I know I had to stand before a little group of people up there tonight, and I shake myself, Lord, awakened, come forth. I put your word out before the people. It's brought to test, proved to this audience tonight, Lord, that you still live, that you are still here, that your words are true. I am with you always, even into the end of the world. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still in the ship. Why would they be afraid? The one who had done all these things they were testifying about was in the ship with them. There should have not been any fear if they had been sufficiently impressed to know he was the word in their midst. I believe that we have seen enough word in our midst that the things that may be facing us in the future, I think we shouldn't be afraid of it. Amen. We shouldn't let fear overtake us, because he's still with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's here. He's been in our midst. He's done things in our midst. He's done things in your lives. He's here. He's with you. One of Brother Ram said, "I wonder if we're sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst." Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." His eyes are upon us, and he's listening for our cry. Psalms 37:25 says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Psalms 34:17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." We should be walking without fear. No fear. I know that anytime we're facing something new, Satan likes to try to grip us with fear. And as human, kind of our first reaction to anything of this that comes up that we weren't expecting. And one of the things we have trouble with is when we're facing a situation and there's an unknown factor involved. And then we can't figure out, well, what's going to go on. But you know what? When Moses and Jochebed put Moses in an ark and put him out in the Nile, they didn't know what was going to happen. They just felt to do this. They felt led of Jehovah to do this. And they didn't know what was going to take place. But they did what they'd been pressed upon them by Jehovah God. They sent Miriam to go along the shore to see what would become of him. See, they didn't know what was going to happen. Imagine Miriam coming back and saying, the Pharaoh's daughter took him out of the water and said that he would be her son and that she was going to raise him. And says she called his name Moses. Imagine them thinking, well, we didn't know what was going to happen, but boy, we sure didn't expect him to end up in Pharaoh's palace. How is that going to work? What if the Pharaoh ever finds out that he's Hebrew? And then Miriam, you know, the princess needed a wet nurse. So Miriam says, I know somebody. And so Moses was nursed by his own mother. Hallelujah. Many are our troubles, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Many, the Bible says, are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God delivers. We're going to face things. We're going to go through things. And you know what it's for? It's for our perfecting. How can your faith grow unless it's exercised? He has things come our way just to exercise our faith that it may grow. We talk about knowing we've got to have rapturing faith. Well, we first got to have faith that he's going to take us through all of the afflictions and all the troubles, that he's going to see us through all the storms. We first got to have that faith. Paul says in 2 Timothy, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But God will deliver them. Sometimes we say, you know, I wish Satan would just leave me alone. Why don't he just leave me alone? Like we're expecting Satan to say, okay. Okay. That ain't going to happen. Some people, you know, I heard somebody one time, they were quitting church, and I asked them why they were quitting church, and they said, well, I said, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. Well, then get up to the altar and get right. Someone say, well, I've come through so many more troubles since I started serving the Lord than I ever did in my life. What do they think? If they quit church, the devil will leave them alone? No. The devil ain't going to leave you alone. You don't get off. He ain't going to let you off the hook. There are people that don't even believe in God. Don't go to church, don't believe in no higher power or whatever. You think the devil leaves them alone? No. They get sick, and die just like everybody else. So if the devil ain't going to leave them alone, we can sure bet he ain't going to leave us alone. We're not going to be able to make a deal. And the message in absolute, Brother M says, before you can have faith, you got to have something to have faith in. What more can you trust faith in than in the word of the living God? What's created the powers of the Almighty? What more could we put our hopes in? Therefore makes you look different and act different. You're looking for God to fulfill his promise. And when difficulties arise, like we have now, it's an anchor. It's something that holds you, something that you're tied to. It's a promise that we have been tied to. The word of God is just like the anchor is the absolute ship in the time of the storm. The ship can be sailing the sea. The anchor's out in front. It rests. Why carry this excess weight of this great mighty anchor? But you see, when the storms come, the raging storms that rise up the sea and could throw a vessel into a bank somewhere and crash it or turn it over into shallow waters, it gets out into deep water and lets down that great huge anchor, and that's so fixed that it'll drag on the bottom of the sea until it hooks into the top of some unseen mountain, and then let those storms rage if they want to. It's got an absolute. The anchor holds somewhere yonder, but it's tight, and as the ship and the waves whips around the ship, it's got an absolute because it's tied. And that's the way that a man is when he's tied to Christ and to his word and believes it. There's an anchor there. There's something that holds him. I thank God we got something that can hold us. It doesn't matter what comes our way. What we would like is to have smooth sailing. Never difficulties. I would like to have the same thing. But I know that's not real. It's not going to happen. There's going to be stormy times. And you know what it does? It just sinks our faith deeper into the Lord Jesus. Because he sees us through it. But you know what he wants? He doesn't want us to be like the children of Israel that was always doubting and him always delivering them. He wants to know that we see how he cares for us. Not us saying, carest thou not that we die? But we know that he cares for us. And that when something does arise that we're going to face and go through, we don't act like God ain't in our midst and God ain't going to do something for us. God cares about you. He cares about everything that's going on in your life. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwelleth in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou covered me in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my spirit knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That's very powerful there, what David wrote. No matter where I'm at, you're with me. David wanting to look at the extremes, said, if I'm in heaven, you're with me. If I go to hell, you're with me. Wherever I'm at, you are there with me. And he says, you know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know my thoughts. You know me. I can't hide from you. You know everything about me. God knows everything about us. Nothing's hid. And you know what? I know I've said this before, but God's not going to let us pass with the C. Yeah. You're going to do it over and over again until you get an A. You're going to take a retest. Why? Because he's perfecting us. Amen. How many times am I going to go through this until you get it right? Brother Branham says, what does that mean when we're having an old-fashioned revival and lambs are born every few minutes? The shepherd's laying right among his flock, watching to see that those little fellows come into the kingdom in the right way. Hallelujah, I'm so glad that he's on duty day and night. And he said, I'll never leave thee, neither will I forsake thee. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. David in the psalm said, if I make my bed in Hades, he's there. Oh, no matter where you are, if the undertaker puts you under the ground and shovels 6 foot of earth on top of you, he could never hide the sheep from the shepherd. He knows exactly where you're laying and you're marked. Some glorious day he'll call and I'll answer. Oh, how marvelous. The sheep knoweth his voice. A stranger they'll not follow. There's nothing can separate us, Paul says. Neither height nor depth nor principalities or powers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is in the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which thou have been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Christ, the mystery is Christ in you. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, everything you have need of is in you right then. All you need to do is call on it. He says everything you have need of is in you right then, including the rapture. God's got his ordained channels. And God speaks through them to help us, to encourage us, to lift us up, to instruct us, to correct us. We ought to be thankful for it. How many remembers the story about when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon, and the woman came in to him and took an alabaster box, and she had precious ointment in it, poured it over his head as he sat at meat. And then the disciples, not Simon and the rest, but the disciples saw it and said that could have been used to sell for much money. But Jesus said, why are you troubled at the woman? Said, she does this to anoint me for my burial. And he said, wheresoever the gospel is preached, this woman will be mentioned as a memorial of what she done. I mentioned this woman coming in. And you know, she didn't have the best reputation. But she was impressed with the word that was setting in their midst. Something about him impressed her and pressed upon her to do what she done. How many times have we heard her story? Over and over. Jesus said it would be that way. Message of why. Brother Bram says, Paul was upon the ship that night, and the angel of the Lord stood by him and told him, fear not, Paul, none's going to be lost. And he could run forth in the midst of the waves and sing the storm just as hard as it ever was storming, maybe harder. But be of good cheer, he said, for the angel of God, whose servant I am, stood by me last night and promised me deliverance. They seen that angel working through Paul. Lord, we're not St. Paul, but you're still Jesus. And the same angels of God and the same Holy Spirit. I believe I can say we're not Brother Branham. But Jesus is still the same Jesus. He's still the same. Same angels of God, same Holy Spirit is still here with us. resurrection of Jairus' daughter. He said, we realize we're not St. Paul, but you're still the same Jesus. And it was you, Lord, that the people were looking to in your servant, Paul, the apostle. Paul's hands were like any other man's. But their respects to you through him, knowing that he was chosen of you and they feared God. And as we go, may we say, like those from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? May you do something like you did that night. You done something in a way you did it, and no other man could do it just the way you did it, breaking that bread. Are we sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Brother Nate prepares to come. We come to the instruments. I love him tonight. He's so wonderful to us. I just love how he cares for us. Amen. God bless you.